Hey guys, hope everybody's doing super. Do you wish you bought an E30 M3 or kept yours if you had one, or an early air-cooled Porsche, just so it sat around in your garage and you didn't think about it and you wouldn't have sold it because you saw into the future and now it's worth stupid money? Why is it worth stupid money? That's what I want to talk about today a little bit. What is going on in the car world where cars that were okay, even good for their standards of the day, and are sort of okay now? What's with the money? Is it just nostalgia? Is a 930 Porsche, a 993 Turbo, like I said, E30 M3, what's going on? The NSX, Super Mark IV? I think car makers have screwed up. Maybe not screwed up. Maybe that's the wrong term. Maybe it was inevitable. Maybe the progress of technology, the competition between brands, and the strength of the marketing machine is what screwed up the car. As well as some legislation, CAFE standards, crash protection, that kind of thing. But that's keeping us alive, so I can't complain too much about that. Today's cars are so much better. Anything built in the last 5 years, and that's being conservative, is so good dynamically. Why would you spend equal or more money on something that's 20, 30 years old and isn't nearly as good dynamically? I've been thinking about this. And I've got a little bit of new in my driveway, and I've got a little bit of old in my driveway. And old cars just have character. They're a pleasure to drive. They're aged and imperfect, and you have to know their idiosyncrasies. And that's fascinating to me, why that appeals to us. Smart money has to go, in the performance world, has to go towards even a base 911. And the smart money would go to a two-year-old base 911 because, let's be honest, the depreciation's already hit, let's say, 20, 30%, three-year-old. And you're getting a lot of car. Oh my God, you're getting a lot of car for the money. But there's a huge but. In the last 10 years or so, the technology that makes these cars arguably so good has made them depreciating assets, infinitely so. They are not rebuildable, maintainable, sustainable the way older cars are. And I'm not talking about carburetors. I'm talking about early fuel injection. I'm talking about things that you can run with a Infiniti ECU, a Motec ECU, a Hondata ECU, something that you can have forever, fix forever. I couldn't imagine doing that with a modern car. I have to wonder what the Ferraris and Lamborghinis of today are going to look like in 20, 30 years when the maintenance is going to be stupid. You go to a modern Lamborghini dealership and ask them to service your Countach, they're going to look at you funny. You want a engine rebuild on your Murcielago Gallardo? And this is just Lamborghini. It applies more or less across the board. They're going to sell you a new engine. So they don't know what they're doing when it comes to boring, honing, swapping out pistons, rebuilding transmissions. Maybe yes, maybe no. They're probably going to sell you a new one. And I understand that there's technologies that don't allow for honing of blocks where there's a coating on the aluminum cylinders. It's not actually a cylinder liner. But you know what? In the aftermarket world, if you go down, you can re-sleeve. You can drill out. There's a world open to you. But then once you get past a certain level of technology, these cars are going to be garbage. I wonder what's going to happen when, and you know how this goes. This always goes around in cycles where you're in junior high, high school, and you have, this is a stupid cliche because this doesn't happen anymore, but you understand what I'm saying when I say this. You've got a poster of a car on your wall, or you've got a Halo car, or the cool kid in school has this, or you take your school bus past the dealership and you see this. And that gets stuck in your brain as that is what I will eventually have if I succeed. And that might be, again, the Mark IV Supras, that might be the Porsches, the M3s, or the Lamborghinis and Ferraris. Just depends on, I guess, where your school bus stop was. So you get this in your head, and then you come out into the workforce, you make yourself into a success, and you start looking back. I see this right now, and it's fascinating. The, like, 75, 78, 80s Camaros that when I was in high school, I thought they were garbage. I thought they were complete pieces of shit. There wasn't a single one between them. The car that I sort of kind of thought was cool, the Smokey the Bandit Trans Am, was realistically a piece of trash as a mode of transportation. It had a giant motor that didn't make any power, with a garbage automatic, terrible handling, was a joke. But now they're coming back. Legitimate builders are putting real money into them. I'm talking about Pure Vision, Ring Brothers, et cetera, that are putting real money into these cars. And I sort of get it, sort of don't. So then the question is, if you're a car guy today, and you, let's pretend you don't already have that car in mind, and let's say you're thinking about, what car should I get into? Again, the smart money has to go to a 3-4-year-old car, so it's 2018 now, it'd be a 2014 whatever, and 2010 through 2015 was a great year for cars. You can get a lot of great stuff at different price points that will go like hell. But it'll continue to depreciate. It won't have the nostalgia for at least 20 years, if it ever will. And I say that from my last couple of podcasts alluding to the youth of today doesn't really get into cars the way we did. I'm 36. I remember desiring, desperately wanting a driver's license so I can have freedom. That's not true anymore, or it's less so at least. So I'm not sure if those Halo cars will, if today's cars that are kind of cool, that will depreciate, nobody will care about, and then 30 years later become cool again. I don't know if that cycle is going to continue. So what do you get into? Do you get into an E9 BMW because the pricing is correct? They're underpriced, in my opinion. They're super cool, great greenhouse, nice design. Yeah, they don't drive as well as some, or any, frankly, modern car, but you definitely get the looks. You definitely get the concept behind retaining history. I don't know. I have to wonder. If I had a blank slate right now, money's no object, maintenance is no object, just to get a car every day, not sitting in the garage, because that's a different conversation, every day, what do I need? Well, I live in Southern California, so I need air conditioning. So that puts me between, gosh, late 70s, unless I'm going to modify it, go with the aftermarket air conditioning system. Late 70s into the modern era. Mercedes kind of developed the technology, so maybe an old Mercedes. I've got one. I've got an 81 diesel wagon. Too old, not quite right. I want it to be a driver's car. I want it to be manual. I want to be able to work on it and service it myself. Instantly, Porsches come to mind, but I can't afford a Porsche. a cool Porsche of that time period. You can get a 911 SC or a Targa, yeah, but freaking Honda Odyssey is better than that car in every possible way, except that you get to say you're driving an air-cooled Porsche and show up to a Cars and Coffee or a car show in your who gives a goddamn Targa 911 SC 80s, 70s Porsche that is not special in any way, and you think you're the shit, and there's a parking lot full of them, and I'm getting a little tired of it. But, you know, if you're cool, you've got something like a GT2993. How awesome would that be at a car show? But that's beside the point. What would I get? I'm just old enough, or I'm just in that time frame, time window, where I can't see myself spending real money on a Japanese car. I don't know what it is. I don't even agree with that, but I have that feeling. Mark IV Supras, twin turbo, manual transmission, hardtop, was always the shit. That was the car. In magazines when I was growing up, when I was reading car magazines. It was $40,000 to $50,000 brand new. It never dropped below $40,000 or $50,000, and now it's more. And it's going to keep going up because very few of them survived because they got giant turbos and motor swaps and this, that, and the other, and 1,000 horsepower and blah, 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 blah. But still, it doesn't get me excited. It doesn't do it for me. You can get a 300ZX twin turbo, two-seat, coupe, manual, stupid cheap. Or if you want to get really nerdy about it, Mitsubishi 3000 GT VR4. Really cheap. But they're cheap for a reason. Nobody gives a damn. But you go the other direction, you go to German cars of roughly the same time period, same era. You go E46, M3, E90, M3. Everybody's talking about, not everybody, I read a lot of people commenting that E90 M3 is the last great M3 because it's got the naturally aspirated V8 manual transmission, dot, dot, dot. But within the time period, when they were new, everybody talked trash about them because they were too soft, too heavy, weren't a real M3, weren't a E30, which is the holy grail of that genre. So what's happening? Okay, E30s have been priced out of market. E36s were a barely modified regular car. E46s, personally, I think is a sweet spot. I really like them. And maybe that's the way to go. I don't know. What else is out there? You have to wonder where the market's going to go and how it's going to lean. I think there's a lot of smart money going in interesting directions, but the landscape is changing. So then the question becomes, if the modern cars of today that are not rebuildable, not maintainable by the average person, average car person even, are not going to take place of old cars. And old cars are still going to be around, right? They're not just going to disappear. They're not being tired. Yeah, they're being crashed and they're getting rarer, but you can still find cars from the 20s, 30s, and 40s. Therefore, you will be able to find cars from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, right? I would be very interested to hear your guys' take. Please leave some comments. Hit me up on Instagram, Facebook. Let me know what your thoughts are on what is the time period / make and model where they start getting too advanced, too good that they lost their soul? I kind of wonder if it's that E46, E90 switch. Certainly when they got into the F cars, it's over. Forget it. Turbos, inline six, too heavy. Great cars. Dynamically great cars. But that E46 keeps ringing true to me. I would be curious if the 996 Porsches would not be more collectible and more valued and more appreciated if they weren't A, ugly, B, the Porsche community is super nostalgic about the air-cooled stuff, and that was like, you know, the first slap before they got good. They should be the ones that they're desirable when nobody cares about them. The 997s are cool cars. You get the IMS bearing issue. The 97.2s are better. Dot, dot, dot. That's a good car to get into, I think. 991's too big for me. It's too complicated. It's dynamically better, but I sort of don't care anymore. Ever since, now that I'm talking about it, I'm kind of starting to pinpoint it. We were looking at car magazines and watching reviews before YouTube was out. You know, all this stuff, Motor Trend, Car and Driver, Road and Track. And we stopped at some point reading the full article and started looking at the 0 to 60, 0 to 100, Nürburgring time, figure 8, Gs. So the manufacturers responded in kind by, we moved the goalposts, so they changed their aim. It's not their fault. But then they came out with cars like Corvettes and GTRs and Porsches and M3s that could put down stupid, stupid numbers that changed the landscape. When a $60,000, $70,000 car could do a 0 to 60 of a McLaren F1, that moment in time, I think it was over. There's still people buying new cars, sure. There's still people that want the latest, greatest, but they're not the enthusiast that I'm talking about. The guy working on his car in the driveway. You could get a GT350R, an amazing car, go for it. Not going to knock it against you. But I guarantee that most people that are buying that car are not keeping it long term. Because when the next one comes out, they're going to want that one. I would tend to argue they're leasing, not buying, in fact. Same thing with, well, the Viper is going to be discontinued, but the Camaro, oh my God. The lap times and the dynamic ability of a Camaro wipes the floor of the greatest supercars in history of 10 years ago and older. Yeah, it's partially due to suspension technology with the magnetorheologic suspensions, partially due, or in large part, due to tires. Tires have come a very long way. But I don't see those cars. There are certain people that are commoditizing those cars and keeping them long-term and not putting a lot of miles on them because they think that in 10, 20 years, 30 years, the Bear Jackson of its time period, they're going to make $1 million. It's going to be the GT350 R or H of today, the Shelby Cobra, the 250 GTO Ferrari. But I don't think so. I think the 250 GTO Ferrari will always be that car. But the LaFerrari? Ferrari is going to have a 50, 60-year strategy to keep that damn thing on the road. And like with Bugatti Veyrons, and the reason they don't really appreciate the way you think they would, because of the tires, the technology, and whatever, of maintaining them, whether it's a P1, whether it's a LaFerrari, even whether it's a 918, I'm not saying they're going to get mothballed, but I don't see them ever outpacing the vintage stuff because the vintage stuff doesn't go away. So I think I'm going to sit down with a few people and do some interviews out of that world, the air-cooled world, the custom car world. Not necessarily the Jonathan Wards and the Rob Dickinson and who else? Steve Stroh from Pure Vision, because those guys are busy and they probably won't sit down with me. But there are a lot of guys in that world that are taking the cars that we're nostalgic for. They hit the sweet spot of time period. They modernize them enough to get them to be safe and exciting and feel fast and good enough, but not too good. Nobody's knocking, not that I've heard of, Jonathan Ward for putting LS motors into Broncos or Toyota Land Cruisers. because they're good enough, they make sense, they pass carbs, he's dialed it in so that everything works. And now what's left is you either get it or you don't. I'm curious to see where Singer's going to go with their cars, but they're proving what I'm saying, which is that those cars are going to be infinitely desirable, and that new cars, I swear, I think they're going to get, not mothballed, but they're not going to be there. And I think because of people like Jonathan Ward and Eagle in the UK and Rob, where I see this going next is, yeah, you're the shit if you're pulling up in a Singer to a car show. You are among the elite if you can get your hands on a Pure Vision or a Ring Brothers or a dot, 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 dot. But I wonder if in 5-10 years at a car show, the crowd is going to go towards the bone stock and original 71 Porsche, 69 Camaro, 67 Mustang. I wonder if the driving dynamics of, and I'm talking about all the way. I'm talking about bias ply tires. I'm talking about four-wheel drums or rear drums. I'm talking four-speed, terrible air conditioning, so much steering slop that you swear it's a boat. I've driven, what was it, a Jaguar E-Type Coupe on spoked wheels. They're terrible. Dangerous, in fact. Terrifying experience. And I can't forget it. I'm getting happy just thinking about it. And literally the cheapest $12,000, $13,000, whatever, literally the cheapest car in the world is right now that's available for sale in America is 1,000 times better than that car. And I don't care. Let me know what you guys think. Share, comment, dot, dot, dot. You've heard this spiel. Something new for you tomorrow. Take care.